And we welcome to the show right now Hanford Top Dog Dixon, a regular here. Had a chance to watch some rookie mini camp practice, the beginning of it here in Berea, Hanford. And the general thoughts, I guess, number one is, you know, who's out there? Because a lot of those questions, it was funny, walking around the field, you had people who within the team, you know, just saying, who's that guy and who's that guy? Because, and that's really what this was. This was a draft of only five players. And it's a lot of these undrafted rookies comprising the bulk of the players out there.
Well, no question about it, Vic. Whenever you have a mini camp for the rookies, as a team, you bring in a lot of what we call bodies. And, we would bring in a lot of bodies, a lot of guys, because there's some work that needs to, you know, get done. And you just don't have enough guys. And as you see, there's so many guys out there on the practice field. As you mentioned, a lot of guys you just don't know. But as I was out there today, you and I, and we were watching practice, it just brought back so many memories to me. As I was telling you on the field, I mean, I actually just love minicamp.
Yeah, you said that.
Yeah, because you know what? It gave me a chance, Vic, to show my talent. I couldn't wait. It was actually my first time getting a chance to really be on a professional football field. And, you have the coaches, and obviously you want to learn from them and try to pick up every little thing that you can and pick up the new offense or defense or whatever right. You're going to run as a football team and try to get, you know, the jump that you can get. Because I tell you what, once the veterans come into camp, everything moves at a really, really fast pace. So you have to pick up and learn what you can learn right now.
Couple things to note, the brother connections. And Josh Hayden, younger brother of Joe Hayden, Browns cornerback. Josh is here as a running back from Boston College. And we were remarking about the family resemblance that there. He looks like a little shorter version, though, than his big bro.
It's funny. I was sitting out there, and I was talking to Joe, and Joe came up to me, and we were talking about his brother out there. And just to watch him and the pride on his face and the smile when I mention it, and he's just so happy to have him out there. And, he want to see his brother make this football team, and that's going to come down to the talent and with this brother. But, you know, just the pride of him having him out here and being a part of this organization. And you're funny. You're right, because when I looked at him, I could, you know, yeah. I saw the back of the jersey, and there's Hayden on the back of the jersey. But, you can't really tell them apart. That resemblance is there.
The family resemblance, the facial hair, the tattoos. I mean, he's got it really right down. I mean, he looks so much like his brother. What I noticed, and again, he's working with that running back group, though. He is a smaller guy. I mean, he looks solid, but he's small. And I think, you know, we'll see where that works out. He was fielding some punts, looked reasonably comfortable with that, a couple of body catches on those. But, you know, this is what this mini camp is for. Another prideful big brother out there is Paul Kruger, the Browns outside linebacker that they signed in free agency. And his younger brother, Dave, is part of the Browns defensive line group from Utah. And it was interesting because Paul, like Joe Hayden, had to be out on the field to watch his little brother. I mean, as you said it, you could see it in his eyes, and you could see how hard they're rooting for these guys. And they want nothing more than to have their little brothers make the football team.
And I guarantee you this, talking about Paul and Joe, they've had the talk with their brothers. And what I mean by this is that I was pretty much like Paul, and I was pretty much like Joe. I mean, I didn't have to worry about making the football team.
Right.
I mean, obviously I had to come out and work hard and do everything. And what I mean by that is I was no better or no worse than any of the other players. But, you got guys like Paul and Joe. They're going to make this football team. Their players is going to start. And I'm sure the bug that they put in their brother's ear, the more you could do, whatever you could do, you want to do anything possible to help this football team, because again, the more you can do, that gives you a better chance of being on this roster.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I think the other thing, working with a more spread out field compared to the voluntary minicamp, which was held indoors in the field house, the fact that these guys have been able to use the full width and breadth of the fields out here, much like they would in training camp, brought a different dimension to the workouts, and especially I thought to the pre-practice stretching. Brad Roll, the new strength and conditioning coach of the Browns, if you noticed,
he is something else. Isn't
is he not a yes. First of all, he by himself is a dynamic guy, and you hear him and he's barking the instructions and orders for these guys to go through their drills, but he's taking them through some drilling that I hadn't seen. I didn't even see during the voluntary mini camp, but things like, you know, having these guys do their planks and different kind of stretching technique, forward and backward, working all different muscle groups and areas, very different than what was here previously for the Browns. And talking with Paul Kruger about it, I said, how does this compare to what you did in Baltimore? He said, as far as like the pre-practice stretch and pretty much for the most part, he said players were on their own. I mean, they had general guidelines. He said we'd get our little cards and follow those, but he said no one was really leading them through, you know, in that kind of that micro sense that we see Brad Roll leading through these guys.
Well, you have to love Brad, and Brad reminds me a little bit of the guy we had. We had a guy, strength and conditioning coach, a guy by the name of Dave Redding, and what I mean by that, Dave was a hyper guy. Dave was an in-your-face type of guy, and Brad is that type of guy.
Yes.
But you better believe he's going to do everything in his power and everything possible to have you ready to go. He's going to have your strength and conditioning right where it needs to be when it's time to start the season. And I wanted to tell Paul Kruger, you know, that's what happens when you won a couple of championships.
Sure.
You know, you get a chance to kind of be on your own a little bit. But we haven't, and we want to do – we like Brad, and I'm telling you, he is going to have this team ready. I like him barking. No, I always like the guys barking at me.
No, I you're right.
Because let me tell you a story, because a couple times, especially – if it was in the morning, I mean, I'm laying on that ground and I'm laying on that dew, and you just don't feel like it, and you need that little push, and that's where Brad will come in and help these guys.
The figurative, or sometimes literal, boot in the rear.
Yeah.
Hanford Top Dog Dixon is joining us, as he always does here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and we are talking about the Browns rookie minicamp. Interesting guy that we looked at among the rookies, seventh-round draft pick Garrett Gilkey. He's an offensive tackle, comes from Chadron State in Nebraska. He's from Illinois, from Sandwich, Illinois. And you see him out there, and I think, again, most of what we're able to do is just the eyeball test thing, right? There's not much you can totally glean from the drills, and you don't watch enough of the drills really get enough time to take in a lot there. But just watching him as a physical specimen, Hanford, I was impressed. Very low body fat he came in with, and his movement is very fluid.
Well, I always like those guys, and you know, I've always said, and you've heard me say it time and time again, the game of football is control and played on the offensive and defensive line of scrimmage. And I've always had the ultimate amount of respect for those guys. And, you know, I think a lot of those guys, and you know, what they do is, you know, they're pretty much what Cleveland is all about, a blue-collar town. And those guys bring their lunch pail with them each and every day, and they're ready to go. But, I think our offensive line is pretty strong, but we also need an addition on there. And I'm just looking forward to those guys opening up those holes for Trent Richardson.
On the defensive side of the ball, which really was the focus of the Browns draft, the top two picks, Barkevious Mingo, Leon McFadden, watching them out there today. And by the way, I noticed the number McFadden was wearing, and yeah, it's 29. How are you feeling about that? You okay with that?
Actually, feeling pretty good.
Okay.
I like the kid. You know, one of his strong points, Vic, is being able to play man-to-man coverage, and I'm pretty excited about that and enjoy watching him. I want to see a lot more of him.
Sure.
And listening to him. I hadn't really had a chance to sit down with him and talk to him yet, but listening to him talk, the kid wants to learn. I mean, he wants to get better. And, you know, when you have a kid that want to come in and want to learn and want to get better and have the talent, it should be pretty exciting.
Yeah, and again, for your sake, I want him to do that number proud. That's the number you wore and had a lot of individual success as part of some team success. And the same thing with this young guy who comes in there, I think, with the right attitude and sense that he's got something to prove. The fact that he is that knock on him, that he's not tall enough to play the position, the fact that some people have questioned the Browns in general for making too high a pick in the third round of him, I think puts great motivation inside this kid's mind.
Well, I'll tell you this. I was talking to Frank a couple of days ago,
and Frank Minifield.
Frank Minifield. Yep. And I said, you know, I said that to him. I said, Frank, you know, one of the things they're saying about this kid, McFadden, I said, they're saying that he's not tall enough to play the position corner. And Frank just started laughing because I knew exactly where he was going to go with this thing. And he said, he called me Haney. He said, well, you know, Haney, you know, they said the same thing about me. And, you know, it's all about heart, desire. And I said, well, this kid, he, you know, he's there then. I mean, he's got that, you know, he's definitely got the speed and he can play it. And but, you know, I think this kid is going to be okay. And the good thing about it, you got Joe Hayton that's pretty much taking this kid already under his wings. And I think that's a good thing, too.
And Barkevius Mingo, of course, he's wearing 51. He's an outside linebacker. We saw a guy that showed up when he arrived for his press conference, announced that he was 237 pounds, looking, you know, just as lean, tall and lean when he's out there, but quick in his movement. I mean, you see the explosiveness right away, which is, I think, the very first thing. And what else can you gain from these non-contact workouts? How do the guys move? He moves well.
Well, I'll tell you this, Vic. He reminds me of another kid who I came in here with. It was a kid that also wore the same number 51, a kid by the name of Eddie Johnson out of the University of Louisville, who reminds me, they remind me each other, a lot of each other, because they both were not very big. Eddie Johnson, for instance, when he had to weigh, he took a weight and put it inside of his pants in order to make weight. But you talking about a guy that got the job done whenever it was time, when they got between the lines, he got the job done. And I think that's pretty much the same we're going to see with this kid.
The most controversial of the Browns' draft picks are Monty Bryant, a defensive lineman that was taken in the seventh round. This was a guy who was arrested before the draft for selling drugs to an undercover officer. He did it twice and was arrested for that. And then, of course, just recently, not long after the draft, he is arrested on a DUI charge, and he shows up to this mini camp, you know, facing a lot of tough questions, which you'd expect him to handle. I think the key is, you know, just acting remorseful, contrite, and I don't mean acting it. I mean showing that that's just the way he is, because truly, you know, this guy's down to his last chance with the Browns.
Well, and you know what I say? I tell everybody, leave the kid alone. I mean, leave the kid alone. I mean, the kid have made some mistakes, and you just hope right now that with all the mistakes that he's made, that he understands that this is pretty much his last hurrah here.
Sure.
And you want him to walk a straight line. You want him to do the things that that he's supposed to do, and keep his and just keep everything straight and arrow, because he's got to be straight right now. He can't get in any more trouble. We want him to come in here, and we want him to play football, and we want him to be productive. And hopefully right now the message, the bell right now is going off in his head, mm-hmm. and say, hey, man, you know, everybody, you know, they're giving me another chance, and this is my last chance. So he has to come in here, and hopefully he can do that, because I like the kid. I mean, yeah. I really like him. I think this kid can really help our football team.
Well, that's all I've heard about him, Hanford, is on talent. You know, he could be as high as a high round talent, just on talent alone. But those off-field issues are what drove him in many cases, or in the cases of some teams, right off their draft boards. Now, the Browns, a seventh-round pick is not a risky pick, but you do bring him into that environment, into your environment, your domain, on the assumption that he knows, not the assumption, but the understanding, because it was communicated with him, that he knows that there is no more margin for error, and he's erased that. So he's put himself in a position where I would say, for his sake, you hope that these mini camp practices aren't the beginning and end of his NFL career.
And you hit the key right there. You said the kid is a seventh round draft pick. This kid, if this kid can come in here now, keep his nose straight, keep everything clean, and play the way we know that he's capable of playing, we have ourselves a football player.
Yeah, it really could turn out to be a tremendous story. Let's just see how it plays out. All right, Hanford, enjoyed it as always, and we'll catch up next week.
Well, partner, you got it, and I say go Browns.
He is the top dog, Hanford Dixon, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and we have got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.